Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. Today we are so very, very fortunate to have His Grace Amrendra Das Prabhuji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Khand, Chapter 9, verses 42 to 44. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandvat Pranam, all Guru's to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much for giving your very, very valuable time and association and to us this morning and enlightening us for this topic. Prabhuji, now I hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the kind opportunity. My special gratitude to Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji for kindly reaching out and engaging me in the service this mid-morning. And I really want to thank all of you for kindly participating and joining from different parts, only to inspire me and bless me with your auspicious presence. Thank you so much. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminithi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, the wonderful magnum opus of Srila Vrindavandas Thakur, who is the incarnation of Vyasadeva himself, who was given this very wonderful epic work of Chaitanya Bhagavat, describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So we are reading the Adi Khanda, the first part of the book, Chapter 9, text 42, 43, and 44 today.
E mata jata jata avatar lila sab anukaran kariya kare khela.
In this way, Nityananda and his friends imitated the pastimes of the various incarnation.
Kona dina Nityananda hoya vaman baliraja kari chale tahana bhuvan.
One day Nityananda dressed like Vamandev and went to cheat Bali Maharaj out of his kingdom, which covered the three worlds. The word chale, this is purport by Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The word chale means to deceive or to cheat. The word bhuvana refers to the three planetary systems. For a description of how Vaman cheated Bali Maharaj out of the three worlds, one should read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18 to 23.
Vriddha kache shukra rupe keha mana kare bikhalaye chade prabhu sheshatar shire.
Someone played the role of the aged or aged Shukracharya, who forbade Bali from giving the three steps. After accepting the gift, the Lord placed his last step on the head of Bali Maharaj. Purport. The word vriddhakache means acting or dressing like an old man. The word mana is formed by the combination of ma, indicating to show man or respect, and na means no, thus prohibiting or forbidding. For the description of Shukracharya's prohibition to Bali Maharaj, one should see Srimad Bhagavatam 8:19:30-43 and 8:21-15. The phrase chade tar shire means climbed on his head. In other words, after punishing and freeing Bali from bondage, the Lord accepted service as Bali's doorman. In this regard, one should refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam 8:22:35 and 8:23:6-10.
Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha.
In this section of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, we see our beloved Lord, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, enacting the pastimes of the Lord. And very specifically in the section that we read today, Nityananda Prabhu is performing dramas with his friends, enacting the pastime of Vamandev. We know Sri Vamandev as one of the 10 incarnations in the Dashavatar and very famously glorified by Jayadev Goswami in his Dashavatara Stotra. Chalayasi Vikramane Balimadbhuta Vamana Pada Nakhanira Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Jayadev Goswami describes Vaman as the incarnation of Sri Hari. Keshavadrita, Keshava, Sri Krishna himself became Vaman. And Chalayasi Vikramane, through his very wonderful interactions and big long steps, Chalayasi, he cheated Bali Maharaj. Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana, through this very wonderful incarnation of Vaman. Why wonderful? Because he came very small and became very big. So Shastra always says, Ano Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan, that Krishna is smaller than the smallest, yet larger than the largest. But only in incarnations like Matsya and Vaman, can we see in the same incarnation, he starts off from being smaller than the smallest and becomes larger than the largest. In other incarnations, you can see this. It's not that Narsingadev came like a small, you know, mosquito and then he became Narsinga. It didn't happen like that. He came in his ferocious form and the size did not change. He came, he did, he conquered and he left. So the size remained the same. Even we can see in Rama avatar and Krishna avatar, even in Krishna Leela, we can see Krishna's size doesn't change. Right? Irrespective of whatever he does, whether he has to kill Putana or Shakatasur or Trinavarta, his size doesn't change. He becomes heavier. Quite fascinating. Krishna becomes lighter and Krishna becomes heavier, but there's no change in the dimension. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is the proof that Krishna is the root of all incarnations. Because other incarnations, when they have to achieve something, they have to become big or they have to become small. But Krishna, with the same dimension, with the same strength, with the same ability and the same form, he can do everything. To prove to Mother Yashoda that her breast milk is working and he's becoming strong, that he's very healthy, his hunger, appetite is good. Instead of just drinking the milk of Putana, he even sucked her life air out to show that she came to give milk, but I have more capacity to drink more than that. Oh, Mother Yashoda, your milk in my body is working. I'm becoming strong. Look, my lips are so strong that I can show the prowess of my lips by killing Putana. Then he shows the power of his forearm and his elbow by killing Trinavarta. He shows Mother Yashoda the power of his feet by kicking Shakatasur. And in this way, little by little by little, he shows Mother Yashoda all the power potency in all the limbs of his body by killing different demons. So different demons came to Vrindavan only so that Krishna can prove to Mother Yashoda that different limbs of his body are strong. For Dhenukasur, he was showing how his ball and socket joint is working by swallowing him away. And for Keshi, he's putting his hand inside. And for Aghasur, he is going completely inside to show that his whole body is so powerful that even when it's trapped in the mouth of a snake or trapped by a snake in the form of Kaliya, Krishna still has the power. Without changing the dimensions in his body, he can achieve everything. In the Trinavarta Leela also, we can see that he becomes light initially, then he becomes very heavy so that Mother Yashoda puts him down. And when he is put down, then Trinavarta has to lift. So Krishna becomes very light again. So Trinavarta lifts Krishna up. And then when he sees that Trinavarta has gone very far away beyond what Krishna wanted to go, then he becomes heavy again. And Trinavarta comes down crashing. Right? So Chakravarti Pad writes that Krishna, without changing dimensions in his body, can increase or decrease his weight. And that is quite fascinating. For us, our weight increases as we grow older, or let's say we age automatically. Right from our infanthood to boyhood to youth, our weight increases because our dimensions also increase, height increases, etc. But for Krishna, with the same shape and size, the weight increases or decreases. So in this case, we see Vamandev becomes Urukram. He becomes Trivikram. These names are very famous. Trivikram or Urukram. Uru means great and Krama means steps. Krama can also mean activities. He who performed great activities by taking great steps is Urukrama.
or Tri Vikrama. Tri means three. And V means Vishesha Rupena. And Krama means steps. So he who took three special big steps, such steps nobody can take. That is Tri Vikrama. Or Vikrama also means valor, which means heroic presentation. So he who through three steps displayed his valor without fighting a battle, he conquered the demons or the king of demons. They surrendered completely through their king, Bali Maharaj. So this is Trivikram. But initially he came as Vaman. He came as dwarf. He came smaller than the usual size as dwarf and then ended up becoming bigger than the biggest size. The biggest size is the universe, and he became bigger than that because he could map even the universes through his feet. So in this section, we can see Nityananda Ram is enacting through dramatic performances the pastime of Vamandev. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his very celebrated Harinam Amrita Vyakaranam, the book on Sanskrit grammar, has used these terms, but he has used them in a very specific, beautiful usage. You see, in Sanskrit, there are two kinds of words, two kinds of syllables, aksharam. The first akshar, the first syllable is called rasva, and the second is called dirgha. Rasva means small and dirgha means big. Like, for example, in Sanskrit, the syllable a is rasva, but a is dirgha. Similarly, I is rasva. E is dirgha. So what are they generally called? They're also called laghu and guru. Laghu means short, small, and guru means big syllable. But Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Sanskrit grammatical book, Harinamamrita Vyakaranam, he describes the word rasva or dirgha has nothing to do with Krishna, or the word laghu and guru have nothing to do with Krishna. So he renames the whole structure. The shorter syllable, he calls it Vaman. And the longer syllable, he calls it Trivikram. Purvo Vamanaha, Paras Trivikramaha. These are the sutras in Harinamamrita Vyakaranam. That every short syllable is called Vaman. And every long syllable is called Trivikram. Like, for example, U is a Vaman Akshar. According to traditional Sanskrit grammar, they will call it Rasva or they will call it Laghu. But Srila Jiva Goswami calls it Vaman, Vaman Akshar. U is Vaman. But U is Trivikram. It's the bigger one. And he says very interestingly, he says it's the same syllable which has expanded. It is A which has become A with an extra matra. It is E which has become E. It is U which has become U. So similarly, it is, according to Vaman Avatar also, it's not that a different incarnation came as Trivikram. That same Vaman only expanded and became Trivikram. So Srila Jiva Goswami Pad uses that wonderful logic. And he uses one more sutra. This can be a little technical. If we get it, no problem. If we don't get it also, Govindaya Namo Namaha, no problem. It's just for record purpose. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad writes, Satsangat Purvo Vamanopi Guruhu. This is the sutra. What does this mean? It means that in Sanskrit, there are many conjunct syllables. They are called Samyukta Aksharani, which means, let's say, for example, the syllable Ksha. Ksha, right? When you have to use the word Vriksha, you use the syllable Ksha, right? So this is a Samyukta Akshar. Samyukta Akshar means two Aksharas are coming together. When you pronounce Ksha, what are the two syllables? Ka and Sha come together. Ksha, right? Similarly, when you use the syllable Pra, that's a Samyukta Akshar. Pa and Ra are coming together. Two sounds are coming together. Now, in traditional Sanskrit, it is called a Samyukta Akshar, right? Or conjunct syllable. But Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, no, that has nothing to do with Krishna. The two syllables are meeting, right? So we should call them Satsanga because there is meeting. Satsanga means meeting of Vaishnavas, right? So two syllables, when they meet, it is called Satsanga. And according to Sanskrit rule, as a rule, when a syllable comes before a conjunct syllable like this, and if it is a short syllable, if it's a Laghu Akshar, it becomes Guru automatically. Now, why, how, we'll forget it. Just as a rule, if there is a conjunct syllable and a normal syllable comes before that, because it is coming before a satsanga, it comes before a conjunct syllable, automatically it becomes a longer syllable. So Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, isn't that amazing? that a very great Krishna conscious point has been mentioned. What is that? Satsangat purvo vamanopi guruhu. Before satsanga, even if the person is short, which means he's a vaman, after coming to satsang, he will become guru. He will become big. Even small individual beings, before coming to satsang, they may be conditioned. But after coming to satsang in the association of devotees, even small, small aksharas, even raswa, even laghu can become guru. All the spiritual masters that we have today, they started at some point and they came to satsang. They came to the association of devotees and then they became guru. Why we are mentioning this is because this sutra is connected to this pastime of Vamana and Bali. So before he met Bali Maharaj, he was Vaman. Before the Lord himself met Bali, Bali is greatest devotee. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasakhi, Vayam. One of the 12 Mahajans is Bali Maharaj. So before meeting Bali, who is a great sadhu, so before having satsang, association of a great Vaishnav, even the Supreme Lord is Laghu. He is also Vaman. But after associating with such a great devotee as Bali Maharaj, satsangat purvo vamanopi guruhu. Even Vaman, even dwarf personality, even small aksharas before a samyukta akshara satsang can become big akshar. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? He comes as Vaman, small dwarf incarnation, associates with a great devotee called Bali and ends up becoming guru, jagat guru, Krishna Mande jagat guru. Or another way to see is Vaman associates with Bali, satsangat purvo. Before satsanga, he was Vaman, but after satsanga, meeting with Bali Maharaj, he becomes Urukram. He becomes big. So this is a very wonderful start to the discussion. Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, in the purports to this section, he advises us to read Srimad Bhagavatam, and he advises the section that we should read also. So following his instruction, Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's instruction, we will read some verses of Srimad Bhagavatam today, where this wonderful pastime of Vaman and Bali is explained. Of course, we may think in our heart that, oh, I know this pastime, right from childhood, I have heard. And somebody who's from Kerala may even think that, oh, Dhanavendra Mahabali was from Kerala only. We even celebrate Onam, remembering him. So, which is all true. We may all have heard this pastime many times. But we will hear details straight from the lips of Srila Shukdev Goswami. So, it will be like never before. So, my request is, all of you kindly please open up your copies of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, following this discussion will be difficult. So, we are going towards the 8th canto. Chapter 20, text 14 onwards. We'll be reading the verse and seeing what we can learn or what are some details out of it. Of course, covering the whole pastime is impossible in the time that we have, but we'll just take a small piece and together we'll sit and study Srimad Bhagavatam and relish what Shukdev Goswami is describing. For those of us who don't have a Srimad Bhagavatam, you can always access that online on vedabase.com and click to Srimad Bhagavatam. Click to Canto 8, click to Chapter 20, click to verse 14 onwards, and here we are reading together. Shri Shukha Uvacha Evam Ashraddhitam Shishyam Anadeshakaram Guruhu Shashapa Daiva Prahitaha Satya Sandham Manaswinam. Just a background as to where we are in the pastime. Bali Maharaj has just finished his conversation with Shukracharya. Daitya Guru Shukracharya, his guru, the spiritual master of the Asuras, Daityas, the son of Diti. And of course, Vamandev has appeared to the scene and Shukracharya is trying his best to convince his disciple not to surrender to Krishna. Actually, this service of the spiritual master is to convince the disciple to surrender to Krishna. But here the spiritual master is convincing his disciple not to surrender to Krishna. Why? Because Shukracharya is thinking, my disciple is foolish. He's not able to understand. He's not able to see. Yeah, text 14. And what we can do is maybe we can put to the advanced view. So we just have the verse in front of us. We can just keep reading the verse if possible.
Okay, so we all can see here that Shukracharya, he has tried speaking to Bali Maharaj, and he has told him not to surrender because he is concerned that Bali Maharaj is not able to see who has actually come. He's thinking that this is a Brahmana, but it is actually Sri Hari himself. And he has come to take away everything. And Shukracharya is thinking that if, maybe the worst text can remain so that everybody, okay, thank you. Maybe we can keep it in English also if somebody finds it difficult to read in Sanskrit. So in that way, we can have it, both options. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. So Shukracharya is thinking, if everything is given to Vishnu, then what Dakshina will I get from my disciple? I also want my pranami. So better you don't surrender everything. If you want to give, give little, but you keep the rest. And then of course he's saying other things also. What about your family? You have to have some loka dharma, your raja. You cannot give everything. There will be many more brahmanas who will come, and you have to be equal to everyone, not give all your property to one person. So he has said many things. But at the end of this whole conversation, Bali Maharaj tells his guru Shukracharya, he says that even if God is coming to cheat me as a Brahmana, this is a wonderful opportunity for me to offer charity. Charity must always be offered to the most worthy person. Who can be more worthy than the Supreme Lord himself? And anyway, the Supreme Lord Shri Hari has been the enemy for the whole family. Because he ended up killing Hiranyaksha, he ended up killing Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu's son is Prahlad, Prahlad's son is Virochan, Virochan's son is me, Bali. So for our family, Vishnu has been the greatest threat. And now to ask charity, he himself is coming as a Brahmana so that I don't kill him. Bali Maharaj is saying, Brahmanas, when they come and ask charity to Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas must protect. Kshatriyas cannot deny the Brahmanas. So Vishnu, if he would have come as a Kshatriya, I could have thought to have some, you know, battle. But he has come as a Brahmana. So it is my duty, according to Varnashrama, to protect my words and protect his desires. And at the same time, Bali Maharaj says that one of the following is possible now. One is, even if he cheats me, I will take a vrat that I will not offend him, because offense to a Brahmana is the greatest thing that one can do. You know, the greatest offense one can do. I will also make sure I don't get angry. I will make sure that I don't speak harsh words, Bali Maharaj says. Second, he says it's possible that he's Vishnu and he may defeat me and he may bind me up in battle. That is also possible. Or the third possibility is I may defeat him and I may bind him. Now, why will a devotee speak like this is a question. Why will he think of defeating and binding the Supreme Lord? Our acharyas describe that Mother Saraswati sits on the tongue of Bali Maharaj at this point and speaks this to help all of us understand the inner meaning. Bali Maharaj is speaking something that Shukracharya is not able to understand. He says, I will defeat my Lord and bind him through the ropes of love. Prempash. Because in this pastime, if you see, who binds whom? Is it that Vamandev is binding Bali Maharaj? Or is it that Bali Maharaj is binding Vamandev? Externally speaking, Vamandev binds Bali. Because Bali Maharaj says, yes, I will give you 3 steps of land. And in 2 steps, the whole creation is taken. And then finally, when there is no place, Vamandev tells Bali, you promised me that you will give me 3 steps. But in 2 steps, you're conquered. So your words have come asatya. Therefore, I will bind you as a prisoner. So this is the external meaning. But Bali Maharaj at that point surrenders his life. He tells Vamandev, you have taken everything from me, but you haven't taken me. Aapne meri sampatti le li, aapne mujhe abhi tak swikara nahi. Hey Prabhu, do pag mein to aapne meri sampatti le li, ab apni sampatti bhi to le lo. Main aapka das hu. Now you please accept me. And by saying this, by expressing his devotion to Vamandev, Vamandev places his lotus feet on the top of Bali Maharaj and gives him a place called Sutal Lok, where Vamandev for all times to come stands as a doorkeeper outside Bali Maharaj's room. So who has bound whom? Vamandev bound Bali for some time with ropes, but Bali Maharaj bound Vamandev eternally through the ropes of Prem, Prema Pash. This is why Shripad Bilvamangala Thakur, he says in the Chaurashtakam, that he says, my Lord, Chinatsi Goram, you're able to cut the ropes of Yamapash. You're able to cut the ropes of Bhavapash, repeated birth and death. But you cannot cut the ropes of affection that your devotees bind you to. That you cannot. That power you don't have. Therefore, Karagrahe Vasasada Ridaye Madhye Madhakti Pasha Iha Bandhala Nishchalasan Hom Krishna He Pranayakoti Satantarepi Sarvasva Chaura Ridayan Nahi Mochayami. The prayer is, my Lord, I will eternally bind you in the prison house of my heart with ropes of love. Bilvamangala Thakur is telling Krishna. So here, Shukracharya, when he's trying to convince Bali, Bali Maharaj says, don't worry, I will bind him or he will bind me. But I am going to keep my word. I am going to give everything to him. He's a Brahmana. So seeing this, that his disciple, evam, in this way, looking at his shishyam. So please follow the Sanskrit words of the 14th verse. Ashraddhitam shishyam. Shukracharya is seeing that the shishya is ashraddhitam, which means he has no faith in the spiritual master. And as a result, instead of adeshakara, instead of being obedient to the words of the guru, the disciple is anadeshakaram, is disobedient. Guru is saying don't surrender, and that disciple is disobeying the guru to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Seeing this, shashapa daiva prahitaha satyasandham manasvinam. The two adjectives, satyasandham and manasvinam, are for Bali Maharaj. Manasvinam means he was fixed in his vow and pure in character. And satyasandham, he will never go away from truth. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, I heard this from His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, he was mentioning that His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, in one initiation class, Maharaj said, just by coming here, getting a new name, taking vows and getting beads, you're not going to make spiritual advancement. Because that anybody can do. Coming and sitting there for 2 minutes and getting an, by saying that I will be the servant of the servant of the servant and taking beads and a new name, said, this anybody can do, Maharaj said. But what vows you take today, with what integrity you keep up to that all your life, that decides the progress that we make. Not those 2 minutes when we take the vows, but the whole life when we live by those vows. So satya sandham, those who live up to their words are very dear to the Lord. Very, very dear to the Lord. Those who take a vrat and they stick to it, they are very dear. Satya vratam satya param tri satyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapanna. Bhagavatam describes that the demigods call Krishna in the second chapter of the 10th canto as the abode of all truth. Satyam param dhimahi. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, abhayam sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavastiti danam damascha yajnascha svadhyayastapa arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodha tyaga shantira paishunam daya bhuteshvaloluptam mardhavam iva chapalam. Krishna says that of all the qualities that attract me, being truthful is one. So because Bali Maharaj was truthful, what is truth? Surrendering to the absolute truth. This is the absolute truth. And if anybody comes in between our surrender to Krishna, it is nice to offer obeisances and disobey politely. And we can see so many examples for that. Prahlad Maharaj disobeyed his father. Dhruva Maharaj disobeyed his mother. Not Suniti, but Suruchi. He didn't wait for her words that, yes, I have to take one more life in her womb, etc. He didn't wait that long. He just left. Vibhishan, we can see, he didn't listen to his brother. Ravana was trying to brainwash Vibhishan, but it didn't work. Vibhishan was surrounded by asuras in the headquarters called Lanka, but nothing happened. He was satyasandhi. Then we can see gopis, their husbands were dithering, but the gopis didn't mind. Nagapatni's husband was Kaliya, but still it didn't stop them. Dvijapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas were ritualistic, but they were Premi Bhaktas. They didn't get distracted. And in this case, Bali Maharaj, the spiritual master himself is saying, don't surrender to Krishna.
And Bali Maharaj keeps the words of the spiritual master aside and worships Krishna. And seeing that Bali Maharaj was disobedient to the words of the spiritual master, what does the guru do? Look at the words here. Shashap. Shap diya unhone. He cursed Bali Maharaj. He cursed him. What was the curse that he gave him? That we will see in the next verse, what the curse is. But interestingly, whatever curse he gave was Daiva Prahitaha. You can see the phrase in the third line. Daiva Prahitaha means inspired by Vishnu himself. Why would Vishnu inspire Shukracharya to curse Bali Maharaj? Because Vishnu, Shri Hari, Vamandev wanted the glories of Bali to spread in all directions. You see, only when Chandan is properly rubbed, vigorously rubbed, does the full fragrance come out of the sandalwood paste. Only when the rods of sugarcane go through the blades is the sweet juice inside those sugarcane rods coming out. So similarly, we can see the flowers also, the lotus flowers. They have so much beauty inside, but only when they have to face the heat of the sun do they open and the beauty is seen. So through the example of the sandalwood paste, example of sugarcane rod and the example of the lotus, we can see that great personalities, when they grow, they go through trials and tribulations, the best in them comes out. The best in them comes out. You can see any juice, any fruit. When you squeeze a mango, that's when the best thing comes out, the juice. It doesn't get morose, but it gives out the best. Another example can be given. When wind blows on a fire flame in a candle, what happens to the candle? Fire flame gets extinguished, right? Think about it. There's a candle with a fire flame on the top and there's wind blowing. What's happening? Gets extinguished. But that same fire, when it's caught and when it's burning a heap of grass and the breeze comes in, what happens? The fire gets intense and it starts spreading further. So if we are a candle, then we will get extinguished when the breeze of trials and tribulations come. But when we become the fire on a grass hut, or let's say in a heap of grass, that same breeze can bring out the best in us, right? So similarly here, why is the curse coming in the life of Bali Maharaj? And Daiva Prahitaha, why would Krishna inspire Shukracharya to curse his own disciple? Because through these five examples that we saw, we saw the example of the sandalwood tree. We saw the example of sugarcane rod. We saw the example of lotus. We saw the example of fire, etc. Through all these, we saw the example of the mango fruit. Through all these examples, we can see when great personalities are crushed, the best part in them comes out. Another example could be when you throw stones on a mango tree, it gives out the best that it has. That is the mango fruit. Till then, it doesn't. But when somebody puts them through trial and tribulation of throwing and facing the pelting of stones, it gives out the best that it has. So the best response is seen by great Vaishnavas, in the lives of great Vaishnavas, through the times of difficulty. This is why Queen Kunti says, Bipada santu na shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat syat apunar bhava darshanam. That let me go again and again through these trials and tribulations so that I can remember you and my consciousness will get more and more blossomed. So here Krishna wanted the fame of Bali Maharaj to spread far and wide, to show the world that a great Vaishnava like Bali, even when he's cursed by his own spiritual master, he doesn't say, oh Gurudev, I'm sorry, you know, somehow I forgot that you're my guru and I should listen to you, I should be obedient. No, he goes to disobey his guru even when the guru curses him that you will lose everything. Still, he continues to surrender to Krishna. He still continues to surrender to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, there is a verse, Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Kshipta Hata Api Nasitat Pratikurvanti Tadbhakta Prabhavopihi. That the essence is, pure Vaishnavas are such, Tiraskrita, even when they're criticized, Vipralabdha, even when they're cheated, Shapta, even when they're cursed, Kshipta, even when they're ignored and neglected, Hata api, even when they are on the verge of being killed, nasya tat pratikurvanti, they don't retaliate.
Santa Hridaya Navanita Samana. The hearts of pure Vaishnavas are like butter. It always melts. There is no question of vengeance and retaliation and revenge. These words don't exist in the heart of a Vaishnava. Tiraskrita. Even when they are criticized. So many examples can be given. Haridas Thakur was beaten black and blue. Jesus Christ was crucified. On the level of Hatapi. Jada Bharat was almost being killed by the tribals. Vipralabdha cheated. Pandavas were cheated. Tiraskrita, Vipralabdha, Shapta. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. Right? Durvasa Muni came to curse and even kill Maharaj Ambarish. And same in this case, Bali Maharaj is being cursed by his own guru. But he doesn't take one step ahead. Doesn't take one step ahead in the direction of the words of the guru. But moves ahead so that the Lord can take his steps. Let's see what the curse was. Next verse, 15. Dridam pandita manyajnyah stabdosyasmadu pekshaya machasanadiko yastvam achirad bhrashyase shriyah. So the words of Shukracharya are as follows. He says, Dridam, hey Bali, Dridam, you seem to be very fixed. You have decided what you want to do and you will do. Sometimes we say, right? Mujhe kyon pooch rahe ho? Tum to drid ho. Tumne to jaan liya kya karna hai. You have decided, then why you're even asking me? Some people are like that. They will ask the same question in different classes, in different ways, because they want to hear what they want to hear. Right? And we are all like that. It's not that we want to know the answer, but we want the speaker to say what we want to hear. So till the time we don't hear that, we'll flip and flap. So dridam, Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj, drid ho aap. Aapne to dridata purvak ye niyam le liya hai. You have decided. You are very drid. Very fixed. Not in a good way, it's a curse. So you seem to be very arrogantly fixed. And panditamani. Here I am your guru. I am the one who revived you. As we know in the story, Shukracharya revives Bali Maharaj. He revives Bali Maharaj. So for all the devotees, this is a very, very, very interesting point. Shukracharya is the one who gave Bali Maharaj long life. So how does that connect to our lives? Shukracharya represents Shukra. And Shukra represents semen or Virya Shakti. The more one retains through Brahmacharya, one will live long through this pastime. It is Shukracharya who gives long life to Bali. And the more one tries to enjoy this world, death is fast approaching. The more one enjoys in the youth, the more one will terribly suffer in one's old age. So Brahmacharya is not meant only for Brahmacharis. It's meant for Grihasthas. It's meant for Vanaprasthis. It's meant for Sannyasis, for everybody. So even Lord Shiva has said that by being Brahmachari, you know, by controlling our senses, Jeevanam Bindu Rakshanath, one will live a long, long life by holding on to Brahmacharya, especially for all the youth who are listening. This is a very important point from Shastra. Maranam bindu patena jivanam bindu rakshanat. One will die quicker and will have more diseases by enjoying sexual indulgence. And the more one is dridabrata, the more one is self-controlled, the longer one lives. So why did we say that? We said that because it was Shukracharya who gave long life to Bali. And Shukracharya represents Shukra or Venus astrologically. So here the curse to Bali Maharaj is Panditamani. I am the one who gave you life. I am your guru and you think you are a pandit. Apne aap ko pandit mante ho. Pehli baat to drid ho. Dusri baat Panditamani. First of all, you're fixed. You have decided. You are not coming to me asking what to do. Seems like I am the disciple and you're the guru. And Panditamani, you're considering yourself to be a very great Pandit. But actually, who are you? Look what Shukracharya tells Bali. Ajna. Nya means jnanam, to know. And ajna means ajnani, foolish. He says, you are actually foolish, but you think you are a very big pandit. Shukracharya is telling Danavendra Mahabali. Bali Maharaj, the great Mahajan, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, is listening to these words. Now the fourth thing he says is thabda. He says, no amount of pravachan, no amount of association, no amount of influence will ever change your mind. You're a gone case. You're obstinate. You're very arrogant. And so how many adjectives used? Dridam, panditamani, ajnyaha, sthabdaha. Now the fifth thing. Asmat upekshaya. Meri baaton ko kaat kar upeksha kar rahe ho. You have the audacity to disobey me, to cut my words. And mad shasana atigaha. And you are going beyond the Lakshman Rekha that I have crossed for you. I have put a Lakshman Rekha for you that if you want to give, give so much, but not everything. First of all, best if you don't give only. Just say no. And Shukracharya tells Bali Maharaj different ways by which he can come out of the situation. He says, yes, you said you will give three, land held by three steps of food. But a vrat is considered to be a vrat only when there is Om chanted before the vrat. And you didn't chant, so it is technically not considered to be a vrat. You can come out. There is no repercussion or there's no reaction for not being able to do it because there was no Omkar chanted before. Shukracharya also tells him, there are times when even if you speak lies, it is okay. Like if you have to get somebody married off, कह सकते हैं हाँ गुणवान है ऐसा है वैसा शादी के बाद जो हो फिर वो लोग देखें. It's like Shukracharya says this example in the Bhagavatam. To avoid daridrata, poverty. And in many such cases, there are verses which describe that. Shukracharya says in such cases, even if you lie, there is no problem. There is no problem. And here by giving out everything, you're going to come to daridrata. So therefore, you can get out of the situation by not offering him. That's fine. I have said these as the rules, but mat shasana atigaha. Mere shasan ke virudh jaakar aap aage nikal rahe ho. You are going ati. Ga means to go. Ati ga means you're going beyond mat shasan, my discipline. How much lines I have put for you, you're going beyond that. And therefore, O Bali, I curse you. What is the curse? Achirad. Bhrashyase Shriyaha. Shriyaha means wealth. Aap Shri arthat wealth se bhrasht rahe. Kab achirat abhihi. The word chira means for a long time, hai na? But achira means not in the future, but right now. Achirat, now itself I curse you. Bhrashyase Shriyaha. May all your wealth be taken away. Now please tell me, will the Lord like to listen to such kind of curse uttered to his dear devotee in front of, actually thousands and thousands of people are watching this because Bali Maharaj talking to Shukracharya and Vamandev appearing is a very interesting long section in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th canto. And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of members are watching. There are people from upper, middle and lower planets who are coming and watching this whole scene that is happening. So in front of all of them, when Bali Maharaj is cursed like that, you think Vamandev will be very pleased? Immediately what Vamandev does is, he instructs Mother Saraswati to flip this whole verse as glorification so that the ether is not contaminated by Vaishnava Parad. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given the other meaning of this verse, how it is the source of all glorification. So maybe can we zoom into the verse, Mataji? If this, just this one. Dridam Pandita Manatnya. So everybody can see the words and appreciate Mother Saraswati's flipping and how wonderfully she has glorified the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe just zoom into the words of the verse, Mataji. Just the words, not the, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you can go a little more. So everybody can nicely see the words. Yeah. So Mother Saraswati says, Shukracharya glorified Bali Maharaj. Aha, oh dear disciple, kitna kitne dhrid ho tum. Guru is coming and saying, don't surrender to Krishna. And Guru is ready to curse. But all glories to such a disciple who is so dhrida, who is so fixed that even when the spiritual master is cursing, he doesn't say, sorry, I'm really sorry. I didn't recognize my position as your disciple and I'm supposed to follow whatever you say. Dhrida. He's standing his ground. He is standing his ground. Second, Panditamani. Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj. Now, this is the other meaning, okay? So, please don't get confused to the first meaning. This is the second meaning going on. So, Shukracharya is glorifying Bali Maharaj by saying, Panditamani, what you are going to do now, oh dear disciple, even Pandits will give their samman to you. Pandit bhi jinko maan dete hain, wo ho aap, Panditamani. In the first meaning, the word Panditamani meant, you are Panditamani. Apne aap ko Pandit maan rahe ho. You are considering yourself to be a Pandit. But in the second meaning, oh Bali, your sacrifice is so great that even great Pandits will offer their maan, their samman, their respect to you. Third word, Ajnaha. The syllable Nya means to know. And a means no. So in the previous meaning, it meant someone who didn't know. But in this meaning, it means Shukracharya is telling Bali Maharaj, oh dear disciple, there is nothing that you don't know. Nya mane janna. A mane nahi. Aisa aur kuch bachai nahi janne yogya. Aap jo bhakti ke star par baithe hain, isse badhkar kuch janne yogya hai nahi. Oh Bali Maharaj, there is nothing more for you to learn. I, as the teacher, what can I teach you more? If somebody is able to, at the time of crisis, surrender to Krishna like this, that you don't worry about anything. You don't worry about the curse from the spiritual master. You don't worry about the public defamation in front of everyone. Now, Vamandev will bind you with ropes. He will send you to Sutal Lok. Everybody is watching for all times to come. And you don't worry absolutely and still you're surrendering your heart. What more is there for you to learn? What more grantha or class do you have to hear? You are on the highest stage of devotion. Oh Bali, ajnya. Aur ab janne yogya kuch bacha hi nahi. Aap to sab kuch jante ho. You know everything. Fourth, stabdha. Stabdha asi. You're stabdha. Stabdha means he who doesn't bow down before anyone. Now, in the first meaning, it meant somebody who's arrogant. Kini ke samne jhukte nahi, bahut ghamandi hai. Somebody who's very arrogant. He doesn't bow down before anyone. But in the second meaning, the devotional glorificatory meaning, it means stabdaha. Oh, Bali, you are not bowing down to pressure. You are not bowing down to loka dharma. You are not bowing down to varnashram dharma. You are not bowing down to guru shishya dharma. You are not bowing down to rajya dharma. You're only bowing down to one personality, that is Sri Hari. How glorious is that? How glorious. One time one man came to Prabhupada and he said, I don't like to bow my head before any God. I don't bow down my head in front of anybody. Prabhupada said, how do you cut your hair? He said, I go to the barber. So Prabhupada said, then when he cuts your hair on the back, what do? He said, I bow my head. Prabhupada said, when you can bow your head to barber, why not bow down to Krishna? For cutting your hair, if you're ready to bow down to a barber, why can't you bow down to Krishna who's ready to cut material existence? Pranam ki mahima hai. Aparampar mahima. There is so much glorification to offering obeisances to Krishna. So here by saying stabdosi, your stabdaha, Bali Maharaj is glorifying. Shukdev was, please forgive me, Shukracharya is glorifying Bali Maharaj that you're so fixed that you don't bow down before anyone except Sri Hari, and this is giving joy to my heart. The fifth term is asmad upekshaya. You have neglected me. You have neglected me. Why neglected me? Because I am speaking about laukik dharma. I am speaking about you are kshatriya, he is brahmana, you should keep money, you should not give so much. I am speaking about all this. But you are talking on the highest dharma, which is jaiva dharma. That the duty of the soul is to surrender everything to Sri Hari.
So I am speaking about lower things and Bali, you are following higher things. Therefore, it is fine for you to neglect what I am saying. Because I am speaking about second or third floor and you're talking about 10th floor. So to go to 10th floor, you have to cross through second and third. So madupekshaya, you have rejected and neglected my words for a higher cause. And this is certainly great. And mad shasana atigaha, I am telling you to give less or not give, but you want to give completely without keeping anything for yourself. This selflessness of yours, O Bali, has won my heart. And therefore, I bless you. In the previous interpretation, the last line was a curse. What was it? Achirat brashyase shriyaha. Achirat means now itself. Brashyase, may you fall down. Shriyaha, from all your opulence. Right? But in this glorification perspective, the line becomes Chirat a brashyase shriyaha. So that a from Chirat gets adjusted with the word brashyase, which means Chirat for a long, long time, eternal time, a brashyase, may you never fall down from shriyaha, from opulence. So the curse was right now, may you fall down from all opulence. But in the glorification, exact opposite. Just Mother Saraswati readjusted the syllable a. Instead of achirat brashyase shriyaha, she adjusted it to chirat brashyase shriyaha, which means for a long, long time, eternal time, may you have sutal lok, which is full of opulence, and may Shri Hari himself be your doorkeeper and give you all opulences of devotion. This is my blessing, said Shukracharya. So in this way, we can see many, many verses of Srimad Bhagavatam go like this, as acharyas interpret multiple meanings. And this is what goes on here. Let's continue. Text 16. Evam shaptasva guruna satyanna chalito mahan vamanaya dadau enam architvodaka purvakam. So in this way, evam shaptaha, shap hua un par. He was cursed. By whom? Swa guruna. Apne hi guru maharaj ne unko shrap de diya. Shukdev Goswami, when he's speaking this, he's feeling bad because never in history do we find an example where the spiritual master is potent, the disciple is sincere and obedient, and the guru himself is cursing the disciple. It never is seen. So Shukdev Goswami, therefore, instead of just saying guruna shaptaha, that Bali was cursed by guru, he says, evam shaptaha swa guruna, apne hi guru ne unko shap diya. So by adding the word swa, Shukdev Goswami's feeling of siding with Bali Maharaj is seen. And look what words he says, satyat na chalito mahan. Bali Maharaj was so great that satyat na chalitaha. He didn't move away from truth even little bit. He didn't move away from truth even little bit. I'll give you a very, very interesting example. This is found in the words of Vasudev Maharaj in the 10th canto. We know that when Vasudev and Devaki were getting married, Kamsa was personally carrying this service, carrying the order of the service of being the chariot driver, right? And we know the story at that time, there is an Akashvani, there is a sound from the ether, that the son of Devaki will be the cause of your death. So the acharyas explain, why was there a celestial sound at that time? Because Indra was scared. The main reason why Krishna is appearing is to Prithvi Bhara Nasho Mukundaha, to destroy Kamsa. But what is Kamsa doing? Vaishnav Seva. He is driving the chariot of Krishna's devotees, Krishna's parents. So, what is Krishna's weak point? Service to the devotees. If somebody serves the Vaishnavas, Krishna's heart melts. So, Indra started thinking that Krishna's appearing to kill Kamsa. But before Krishna's appearing, Kamsa is doing Vaishnav Seva. Prabhu kahe Vaishnav Seva naam sankirtan dui karo shigra bhave Krishnera charan. So, Indra started feeling scared. Kamsa, if he performs Vaishnav Seva, Krishna's heart will melt. And instead of speeding up to appear to kill him, Krishna will speed up to appear to accept him. So what did Indra do? Performed the service of Akashvani. So that now Kamsa leaves that Vaishnav Seva. Kamsa leaves Vaishnav Seva and starts criticizing the same Vaishnav whom he was serving in the form of holding the hair of Devaki. And this causes the downfall of Kamsa. Krishna later comes and kills him. The lesson for us is, whenever we perform Vaishnav Seva, however Kamsa-like we are, we may all have opportunity to perform Vaishnav Seva. And when we perform Vaishnav Seva, Akashvani always attacks us in the form of rumors. Do you know this Vaishnav whom you are trying to serve, he has a past. Before he came to ISKCON, before he came to Krishna consciousness, oh, he had, he had a slaughterhouse of his own or whatever. He would sell tickets on black at a movie theater or, he had liquor store or whatever. He used to sell meat, something like that. And then what happens? Immediately our faith in that Vaishnava and that Vaishnavi comes down. And we think, really? I never knew that. Okay, maybe I will serve them, but not with so much heart. And what happens is, because of the Akashvani, the sound of this ether around us in the form of rumors come and attacks our consciousness, our faith in that Vaishnav Seva, in service to that Vaishnav, is lost immediately. And that same Vaishnav whom we're trying to serve, now we try to attack in the form of holding their hair. Not literally holding their hair, but we try criticizing them or we neglect them. And that Krishna who would have given us darshan will now punish us, seeing that we are Kamsa. So I hope everybody is understanding. Another example that we can see is in the case of Ravana. Ravana had association of Hanuman. Mother Sita also had association of Hanuman. By associating with Hanuman, Mother Sita got the embrace of Ram. And by associating with Hanuman, what did Ravana get? He was destroyed. Why? Because the mood in which both of them associated was different. Mother Sita associated with Hanuman with the desire to meet Ram in service. So when we associate with Vaishnavas, the desire to meet Sri Hari must increase. But what did Ravana do? He set the tail of Hanuman on fire. And the tail is always behind. It is not ahead. And setting fire on the tail behind Hanuman represents criticizing Vaishnavas behind their back. Ram very mercifully gives the Ravan like us opportunity to associate with Hanuman-like personalities. And when we set fire on their tail in the form of criticizing behind their back, definitely we will see Ram in the form of death or reactions. But it will not be the embrace that Mother Sita got. It will be the destruction that Ravana had. You see? Very, very important. So, coming to the point, Kamsa astray, he goes astray by the ethereal sound of the Akashvani, and then he holds the hair of Devaki Rani. And then at that point, Vasudev Maharaj has to preach. Think about when we have like a Bhakti Sangha platform where everybody is sitting and listening and we are also sitting and speaking. It's comfortable. But imagine when you have to give a class in the battlefield or an open place where a demon like Kamsa is about, he has raised his sword to kill his own sister who happens to be our wife. What kind of preaching will we do? Krishna is such a great preacher, is it not? On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he spoke to Arjun. In 40 minutes, he spoke 700 verses. Vasudev Maharaj Bhagwan ke bhi baap hai. To sochiye. Unki vaak shakti ka to kehna hi kya. What to speak of his speaking ability? Vasudev Maharaj is the father of the creation. Pita aham asya jagataha is Krishna. And Vasudev is his father. So whenever Krishna is called Vasudev, it is a very pleasing name to the Supreme Lord. That you are the son of that great personality. Another name for Vasudev Maharaj is Anakadundhuvi. You may have heard this name before in the Bhagavatam. Anakadundhuvi. Anakadundhuvi means the ringing and the playing of instruments. Why is his name Anakadundhuvi? Dundhuvi to sab jante hain. Mano ek drum ki tarah, kettle drum. The meaning is, there was a foretelling prediction that there will be a personality by the name Vasudev whose child will be Sri Hari himself and who will destroy the demons who are enemies of Indra. So when Vasudev Maharaj was appearing, demigods were playing Anakadundhuvi. They were playing the drums to say, oh, that Vasudev is appearing. Now, very soon, he will become a father and the Supreme Lord will come as the son and all the demons will be destroyed. So, at whose birth time itself, the demigod celebrated with drums, that is Vasudev Maharaj, Anakadundhavi. So, why I'm mentioning that is Vasudev Maharaj, at that point, he has to speak and preach. And whatever I'm speaking here, as the exit that we took to explain this story, is elaboration on this term, Satyat Na Chalitah Mahan. In this shloka, we saw that Bali Maharaj did not move even an inch from truth. So to elaborate that, we are coming to the example of Vasudev Maharaj. Vasudev Maharaj tries to speak in different ways, but when nothing works, he speaks very interestingly to Kamsa. And he puts this, now Vasudev Maharaj is the source of all Sanskrit language. So he puts it in such a way that, O king, whichever child you have fear from, that child I will give it to you. But he says it in a way that the exact opposite meaning grammatically is presented. So Kamsa has to hear, that child whom I have fear from will be given to me. But Vasudev Maharaj, he flips it using Sanskrit grammar in such a way, keeping his words as truth and pacifying Kamsa at the same time by saying that those children that you have no problem with, I will give you them. Exact opposite. And Kamsa doesn't understand because he hears it as that child whom I have a problem with, I will get that child. And that's what Vasudev is trying to say, but he's hiding through Sanskrit grammar. And exact opposite is what he's saying. He's saying those children that you have no problem with is what I will give you. And that child who you have a problem with, I will not give you. But Kamsa through Sanskrit grammar doesn't understand this. So he becomes very happy. And he lets go of Devaki. Because this point somebody could ask, that if Krishna is Satyam Param Dhimahi, his father must also be very truthful. Then how come he said, I will give you all my children? But he didn't give the eighth child. He took him to Gokul Mahavan. So it seems as if Vasudev Maharaj spoke lies. But it is not so. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Vasudev Maharaj tells Kamsa, externally Kamsa is hearing, that child whom you have a problem with, whom you're afraid of, I will give him to you. But through Sanskrit grammar, Vasudev Maharaj is actually saying exact opposite. Just like we saw previous verse where there was curse, but at the same time blessing. Vasudev Maharaj says that those children that you have no problem with, I will give them to you. Which means that child whom you have a problem with, Krishna, I will not give him to you. And Kamsa doesn't understand. So Vasudev Maharaj speaks the truth, but covers it up in such a way that the other person doesn't catch it. So this is an elaboration on Satyat Na Chalito Mahan. Great personalities, even at the time of great calamity, they don't drift away from truth. Sometimes we may have to say the truth in a way that the other person doesn't understand it properly, but you're speaking the truth. That is fine. But the desire to lie and the desire to cheat and the desire to exploit and the desire to be crooked and duplicitous is not found in the Vaishnava. Prabhupada writes in the purport, in one of these verses in the section, where he says that duplicity is something that the Vaishnava doesn't have. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to say, Saralta hi Vaishnavta. So sometimes you may have to say half the truth. Another example is, when the friends of Krishna complain that Krishna has eaten dirt. So Krishna says, Naham bhakshitava namba sarve mithya abhisamshina. I have not eaten dirt. They're all lying. So acharyas take two sides. Who is speaking the truth? Is Krishna speaking the truth that he has not eaten dirt? Which means the friends are lying. But the friends are pure Vaishnavas. How can they lie? So if they are speaking the truth, then Krishna is lying. But how can Krishna lie? Because he is absolute truth. So who is speaking false? The acharyas give reasons as to how Krishna is truthful. Krishna says, Sarve mithya abhisamshinaha. Wo sab jhoot bol rahe. They are all speaking lies that I have eaten. So what it means is, Srila Sridhar Swami and others have commented by saying, half-truth is also false, na? So what are they saying? I have eaten dirt. But every day they are also eating fruits and vegetables. Where is it all coming from? It's coming from the field. So when they are eating, some dirt is going into their mouth also. But they are not telling you that. They are telling you only the fact that I have eaten dirt, which means they are telling you half the truth, which means they are all speaking false. If everybody is eating dirt and I am also eating dirt, then why complain? Or another reason why they are speaking false, Krishna is saying the whole creation is in my mouth, mother. They are saying only half the truth, that only dirt is in my mouth. Oceans are also in my mouth. Sky is also in my mouth. Fire is also in my mouth. In the future, when I drink and sip fire, I will show you, oh mother. Everything is in my mouth. But these friends are telling you only half the truth, that mud is in his mouth. But they are not telling you water is also in his mouth. They are not telling you fire is also in the mouth. So, sarve mithya abhisamshinha. Krishna is saying all his friends are speaking lies because they are saying half the truth. So sometimes in life, satyam bruyat priyam bruyat, we have to speak the truth, but we have to speak the truth. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam. It has to be in a way that it doesn't displease the other person. Sometimes people speak truth and they say, jo hriday mein hai, main bol deta. Whatever is in my heart, I say. Kapat nahi hai. I don't have duplicity. But this is not right. Truth must be spoken in a palatable, pleasing way. It must be useful to the other person. It should not agitate the other person. Anudvega karam vakyam. The words must be non-agitating. Satyam, they must be truthful. Hitam, they must be beneficial for that person. Priyam, they must be pleasing. And swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva, it must be in line with Shastra. So Bali Maharaj has all of that in his words. He is not agitating Shukracharya through his words. And he's keeping the truth. He's doing it for his benefit and the benefit of others. And this whole pastime is very pleasing and in line with Shastra, because even Shukdev Goswami is remembering this. So satyat na chalitaha. Even when there was trial and tribulation, Bali Maharaj did not take one step away. And therefore he is Mahan. And saying this, Vamanaya dadau enam. Enam means prithivim, earth. Enam prithivim aham dadami. Vamanaya dadami. Bali Maharaj offered this whole prithvi, Vamanaya dadau. He gave it to Vamandev. And how did he do it? Architva. He first worshipped him and Udaka Purvakam. Then he took water in his palms to do Achman before he could give the whole world in charity. So we will stop at this point. We saw the very wonderful character and the steadfast devotional spirit of Bali Maharaj. When the time is right, at another point, we will continue and we will also see different aspects of this pastime, how the three steps were taken and how wonderfully Bali Maharaj for all times to come gets celebrated as the greatest example of Atma Nivedanam or Atma Samarpan, surrendering oneself. So our Nityananda Prabhu in this section of Chaitanya Bhagavat is performing dramatic representation of all these pastimes, teaching all of us that as much as possible, our enjoyment, our gratification must be related to Krishna. Whether as we are children or whether we are older, our gratification, whatever relaxation, yukta ahara viharascha, yukta cheshta swakarmasu, yukta swapna avabhodascha. Krishna says that even the vihar, the relaxation is necessary, the sporting is necessary, but Nityananda Prabhu teaches as much as possible to keep it Krishna conscious and Sattvic Pradhan, predominated by Sattvagun. So we pause here. Thank you all for kindly participating. Please forgive me if I displeased you in any way, if I said something which was not adhering to truth. And if there was anything that pleased your heart, I'm simply repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada and our Gurujan and ultimately Shukadev Goswami. So this is their Hari Katha. It is the Ganga of their Hari Katha flowing through the lotus of their lips. But we are all fortunate ones in the Prayaga Kshetra of Bhakti Sangha. We've all come together to take the bath in the Ganga water of the Lord's glories. Vansha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti gaur bhakta vrinda ki jay shila prabhupad ki jay gaur premanande.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for such a heartwarming class. It was so beautiful, and I love the analogy of contamination of the ether. I never even thought in that direction, but so beautifully put together, and all the analogy, all the shastric verses that you quoted, the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, everything, every little word you spoke today was so wonderful. So very grateful to you. Thank you for coming on our forum and giving us your very, very valuable association. We are very honored, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful class.
Thank you, Mataji. You smiling and offering your blessings at the end is the fruit that I received. I received the lotus feet of your blessings on my head, like Bali Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. We have any raised hands? We'll take questions. Thank you. Abhishek?
हरे कृष्ण प्रभुजी, दंडवत प्रणाम.
दंडवत प्रणाम
प्रभुजी. अभी आप बोले कि सरलता ही होता है वैष्णवता, तो सरल कैसे रहे, ये पहला क्वेश्चन है.
सो द क्वेश्चन इज हाउ टू बी सरल. अनुकूल्यस्य संकल्प प्रतिकूल्यस्य वर्जनम. टू फॉलो व्हाट द शास्त्र सेज एंड टू गिव अप व्हाट द शास्त्र टेल्स अस टू गिव अप. जस्ट टू बी ओबीडिएंट सर्वेंट, दिस इज सरलता. The problem comes when I want to do something that the Shastra says no, or I don't want to do something that the Shastra says as yes. That is where the duplicity comes, where I act as if I'm doing it, but I don't do it. Or I act as if I'm not doing it, but I actually do it. So one should be dedicated in a way as much as possible to remain obedient to the words of Sri Guru and the words of Shastra. Is that okay? Priyanka Mataji. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, Prabhuji, actually main aapke ek bar Hari Katha mein sun rahi thi that jaise jo Lord Jagannath hai, wo hum keval aise Lord hai jinke jab Rath Yatra jaati hai. तो अगर हमारे कोई अनफुलफिल्ड स्पिरिचुअल डिजायर हो तो हम उनके कानों में जाके मतलब बोल सकते हैं और वो माय डिजायर फुलफिल्ड हो जाती है. और आपने अपने एक फ्रेंड का भी एग्जांपल दिया था उस मतलब हरी कथा में. सो आप प्रभु जी वो जो जगन्नाथपुरी वाले जगन्नाथ जी आप उनके बात कर रहे थे, और क्या अभी भी ये सबको प्रोवाइड कराते हैं सम स्पेशल पर्सन को?
सो आई वॉज मेंशनिंग अबाउट जगन्नाथ इन जगन्नाथपुरी ओनली. And I have not been to Jagannath Puri in the last long time. I have not been to Jagannath Puri at least 15 years. So I don't know if it's still prevalent, but it used to be prevalent. Okay.
सबको
सुलभ था. अभी मुझे पता नहीं कुछ नियम अगर उन्होंने थोड़ा और कट्टर बना दिया हो तो, मैं नहीं जानता. 15 साल से तो मैं नहीं गया हूँ, पर पहले तो जन सामान्य सबके लिए था. ठीक है, चलिए, we'll take the next question. I'm not able to hear you, Mataji. आपकी वाणी टूट टूट के आ रही है, खंडित है. ठीक है, we'll take the next question.
प्रभु जी, मैं ये बोल रही थी कि आप किसी से रिलेटेड एक और प्रश्न.
You can unmute yourself, Mataji. Meeru Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat Pranam.
Prabhuji, मेरा एक प्रश्न था. जैसे हम भागवतम में अजामिल की कथा बहुत प्रसिद्ध है, वो कई बार सुनते हैं, लेकिन जिनको शास्त्रों का जैसे कोई ज्ञान नहीं है, जैसे मुझे कोई खास डीपली ज्ञान नहीं है, तो कोई ये भी इम्प्रेशन ले सकता है कि जिस व्यक्ति ने पूरा जन्म पाप में बिताया और अंत समय में केवल अपने पुत्र का नाम नारायण रख देने भर से, जबकि उसकी वो इंटेंशन नहीं थी कि वो नारायण को पुकार रहा है और उसे भगवान का धाम, भगवत धाम प्राप्त हुआ, तो क्या ये कलयुग में भी संभव है कि हम अपने बच्चों का नाम राम कृष्ण नारायण रख दें और कुछ प्रयास ना करें, पूरा जन्म पाप करते रहे और अंत में सिर्फ अपने बच्चों को पुकारे और भगवत धाम प्राप्त कर लें?
करके देख लीजिए अवश्य जाएंगे भगवत धाम। पुत्र का नाम अगर राम नाम रख दिए, पूरा जीवन पाप करके देख लीजिए, और फिर बात यह है कि अंतकाल में बच्चे को पुकारना मत भूलिएगा, वरना विष्णुदूत का तो पता नहीं, यमदूत तो अवश्य मिलेंगे तो कली काल में भी संभव है, हर काल में। सत्य त्रेता द्वापर कली हैज नथिंग टू डू विद द पोटेंसी ऑफ श्री हरिनाम। म्रियमाणो हरेर नाम घृणन पुत्रोपचारित अजामिलोप्यगात धाम किम पुनः श्रद्धया घृणन। इफ अजामिल, somebody who's sinful, calling out to his son, living with a prostitute, kicking his parents and his wife away, completely sinful person, calls out to his son, and if he gets back home, back to Godhead, what to speak of those devotees who follow four regulative principles, live according to dharma, chant every day in Brahma Muhurta, and if they, even if they don't remember Krishna, the probability of they getting Krishna is way higher. So, क्या ये संभव है? अवश्य संभव है, पर इसको करके देखना बहुत घातक हो सकता है। तो पुत्र का नाम तो अवश्य प्रभु के नाम से अंकित रखे, पर पाप रहित जीवन हो। वी शुड लिव अ लाइफ सिनलेस एंड चैंट द होली नेम कॉन्स्टेंटली। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। बाय चैंटिंग द नेम ऑफ श्री राम, इफ रत्नाकर कैन बिकम वाल्मीकि, बाय चैंटिंग द नेम ऑफ श्री हरि, इफ ध्रुव महाराज कैन गेट दर्शन, by chanting the name of Shri Hari, if Prahlad Maharaj can be saved from burn marks and be protected from the throwing of a cliff, by chanting the name of Shri Hari, if Draupadi can be protected in the Kuru Sabha, by chanting the name of Shri Hari, if Gajendra being an animal can be saved, by chanting the name of Shri Hari in the age of Kali Yuga when Mahaprabhu himself chanted the holy name, we in the auspices of Srila Prabhupada following the regulative principles, what is the question? Whether or not we will achieve. बस श्रद्धा पूर्ण भाव से नाम रटे, तो बच्चों का नाम भी रखें और मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंटली उनको पुकारे, क्योंकि बच्चा हो ना हो या पुकार ना पुकार से नहीं बात होता है, नाम होना चाहिए मुख में, वो महत्वपूर्ण है। और उसको कैसे भी सांख्यत्यम पारिघास्यम स्तोभम हेलनमेव वा वैकुंठ नाम ग्रहणम अशेषागहरम विधु, कैसे भी करके किसी भी भाव से, का भाव कुभाव अनक आलस हो, नाम जपत मंगल दिशि दस हो, दसों दिशाएं मंगलमय हो जाती है केवल नाम के उच्चारण मात्र से। तो श्रद्धा भाव से, आर्थ नाद से, हृदय से हरि नाम, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अपार्ट फ्रॉम हरि नाम हमारा कोई नहीं है, देयर इज नोबडी दैट वी हैव एक्सेप्ट श्री हरि नाम प्रभु। सो वी शुड चैंट, प्रभु को अपना बनाकर नाम जपे, शीघ्र अति शीघ्र फलीभूत होगा। ठीक है
जी जी प्रभु। एक छोटा सा प्रश्न और है, कृष्ण के प्रति पूर्ण समर्पित कैसे हो, चिंताओं से मुक्त कैसे हो जाएं कि सब कृष्ण को दे दें?
निरंतर हरि नाम, निरंतर हरि नाम। अनन्यास चिंतयंतो माम ये जना पर्युपासते तेषां नित्याभियुक्तानां योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम्, तेषां सतत युक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धि योगं तं येन माम उपयान्ति ते, सर्वधर्मान परित्यज्य माम एकम शरणम व्रज अहम त्वाम सर्व पापेभ्यो मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुच। ये सभी श्लोक गीता की ओर एक ही बात बताते हैं, यज्ञानाम जप यज्ञोस्मि, सभी यज्ञों में मैं जप यज्ञ हूं। सततम कीर्तयंतो माम यतंतश्च दृढव्रत नमस्यंतश्च माम भक्त्या नित्य युक्त उपासते। कृष्ण हैज सेड इन सो मेनी वर्सेस इन द गीता, इफ यू कॉन्स्टेंटली चैंट हिज नेम्स, कॉन्स्टेंटली निरंतर, उठीते बसीते खाईते चुईते जथा तथा नाम लो, देश काल नियम नहीं सर्व सिद्धि हो, बाय कॉन्स्टेंटली चैंटिंग कृष्ण नाम। जस्ट लाइक अ चाइल्ड कॉन्स्टेंटली कॉल्स आउट टू द मदर एंड द मदर कैनॉट गो एनीवेयर एक्सेप्ट द चाइल्ड, बट इफ द चाइल्ड ग्रोज अप एंड इज इंडिपेंडेंट, मदर डजंट टेक मच केयर बिकॉज ही नोज द चाइल्ड इज इंडिपेंडेंट, बट दैट चाइल्ड इज कॉन्स्टेंटली मम्मी मम्मी, देन द मदर कम्स। सो इफ वी बिकम ग्रोन अप एंड वी डोंट कॉल आउट टू द मदर, देन कृष्ण विल लीव अस।
बट अगर हम बच्चे बन गए एंड वी कीप कॉलिंग आउट टू आवर डीटी आवर इष्ट देव दे विल नेवर लीव अस. निरंतर हरिनाम जहार बदने से वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भजताहर चरण. Chaitanya Charitamrita has described that that person is Vaishnav in whose mouth there is constant chanting of Harinam. Aho batashwa pachato gariyan yad jivhagre vartate namatubhyam. Jinke mukh pe aapka naam hai Prabhu, wo sarvasresht Vaishnav hai. Sulabham bhagavat naam jivhacha vashavartini tathapi narakam yantim kim ashcharya matha param. Badkar kya ashcharya hai ki bhagavan ka naam sulabh hai, jivha vash mein hai, फिर भी व्यक्ति नरक जाता है. देखो कितना दुर्भाग्य है. इससे बढ़कर कोई आश्चर्य है नहीं. तो निरंतर हरि नाम. ठीक है,
बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद प्रभु जी. हरे कृष्णा.
हरे कृष्णा. Did we say something, Mataji? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I was asking if you still have time for questions.
Yes, Mataji. Maybe we can take 2-3 questions. Yeah.
Sure. Simran Mataji.
हरे कृष्णा प्रभुजी, दंडवत प्रणाम.
दंडवत प्रणाम.
प्रभुजी एक क्वेश्चन है, जैसे कि शुक्राचार्य जो है उन्होंने श्राप दिया था बलि महाराज को, और जो बलि महाराज है वो बहुत बड़े डिवोटी हैं भगवान श्री कृष्ण के. इवन स्टेटमेंट जो चेंज करने के बाद भी भगवान श्री कृष्ण ने सरस्वती जी को बोला कि स्टेटमेंट चेंज कर दिया, तब भी शुक्राचार्य को कोई वैष्णव अपराध लगा कि नहीं लगा प्रभुजी?
वैष्णव अपराध शुक्राचार्य जी को लगा कि नहीं लगा प्रश्न है. इसी बात को स्पष्ट करने के लिए, जस्ट टू मेक दिस पॉइंट क्लियर, द क्वेश्चन इज डिड शुक्राचार्य गेट वैष्णव अपराध फॉर कर्सिंग बलि महाराज. वेल एक्चुअली कर्सिंग वैष्णव इज सर्टनली एन अपराध, बिकॉज हंति निंदंती वैद्वेष्टि वैष्णवा नाभिनंदति कृद्यते यातिनो हर्षम दर्शने पतनानि षट. अकॉर्डिंग टू स्कंद पुराण, क्रिटिसाइजिंग और कर्सिंग अ वैष्णव इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी वैष्णव अपराध. But however, in this case, Shukdev Goswami makes it very clear that this was Daiva who sat in the heart and inspired Shukracharya to pronounce that curse. We saw that line, that it was Sri Hari himself who made Shukracharya speak. Nimit ban gaye the, he was just an instrument. And this was to enlarge the fame of Bali Maharaj. So Shukracharya did not get aparad because he didn't speak out of envy of his heart. It was Vishnu who pronounced it through him as a medium. Is that clear? We can find this even in the Ramayana, when Yad Krauncha Mithuna Dekham Avadhi Kama Mohita, when the curse is pronounced by Valmiki Muni, this thing has been mentioned. Brahma reconciles that actually the chandas that have that the words and the chandas that have come through your lips have been through my inspiration only. So now whatever you have heard, now you elaborate that in 24,000 verses. So in that way we can see great personalities like Shukracharya, they become medium many times, and the Supreme Lord works through them. So, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Priya Bhakta Dware Anyere Shikshaya Karo Eita Prakare. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, it is described that the Supreme Lord may use different people as instruments to teach us lessons. So, they may not struggle individually, but they get glorified for being instruments. Okay? We'll take two more.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Kunal Prabhu. Go ahead.
Yes. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Prabhuji, so thank you for your katha, first of all, Prabhuji, your nectarian katha. My question is that we listen to your katha, means I listen to your katha, Krishna katha, but when I read, actually, I'm reading right now Krishna book, but when I read, I don't get that, means at that level, I don't get that power. Means we can say that how when I get means when I get when I listen to your katha. So how to develop that reading habit, means how to develop this?
So many times it is possible because most of us have taste in hearing more than reading. It is possible that because of lack of taste in reading only, we lose half the battle. Like for example, when we are hearing something,
the speaker is putting all the effort. The speaker prepares the class, the speaker is speaking, the speaker brings in the expression, the speaker brings in the voice modulation, the speaker is giving the hand movements, and all that we have to do is sit back and relax. And that is a class. Now in reading, what happens is that the book relaxes. The book says, I am relaxing. Now you do all the hard work. You read, you take notes, you understand, you open when you want, you close me when you want. So the mind somehow takes the path of least resistance. Wherever it is more comfortable, we like to do that. So most of us naturally have an inclination towards hearing than reading. But it can be developed. By practice, it is possible. So every day, if you try reading 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and keep a pencil in your hand and make sure that you're following what is being read and try to take some notes. And whatever you're taking notes, be attentive. Keep away the phone. Don't multitask. Sit in a place where you're more comfortable. The sound is not there. The time is appropriate. The place is not cluttered. Many times we sit in a table which is filled with so many things. There is a, you know, like a drinking cup, glass. There are, you know, there'll be a pen drive. There'll be so many books. Sometimes glasses also. Sometimes maybe like clothes also, you never know. Some calendar, you may have so many things around. Well, I'm just looking at my table and calling out different things. Whatever is there on my cluttered table, I'm just calling them out. So sometimes when you have a table like this, disorganized, it's possible that it doesn't let you study properly. So a clean place in a proper time, away from distractions and speaking and phone. Sit down and tell yourself, the world will continue. 30 minutes, I have to just be here and study. And study nicely. Keep a pencil, keep a notebook. Inspire yourself. Read, take notes, try to understand some theme, what is happening, what are the examples given, and try to share it with others. The more you read, the more you be focused, the more you try to remember and share, you will see that the taste will develop. So I would suggest that.
And Prabhuji, do you have any plans of coming to India or Vrindavan?
I will let you know. I will definitely let you know.
Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji. This is Dhanashree. I'm from Bombay. I have been listening to your YouTubes for quite some time, and this is my good fortune that I could actually listen to you on a live stream. And I'm just mesmerized by the way you remember your shlokas. How do you do it? One is you should take one class on that. And second, you said that you should be simple and just go by the shastras, right? That's what you meant, right? So if and don't do things that the shastras do not allow you to do. Okay, then what happens to our ambition? If at all one does have ambition, what happens to that? And how do you deal with it?
Very nice. We'll take the second question first. So following Shastra and accommodating our ambitions and desires. So Shastra has examples of all categories. The Shastra has examples of those who are brahmacharis, who are celibate monks. Shastra has examples of those who are grihasthas, who get married, those who have children. Shastra has examples of those who are living in the house with children. Shastra has example of those sages living in the forest. Shastra has examples of things that happened 5,000 years ago. It also has examples of that which happened 500 years ago and things which happened 50 years ago also. And we can always learn from those circumstances, depending on where we are and what kind of personality represents our situation, we can go that path. I'll give you an example. Dhruva Maharaj had a lot of ambitions. He had a lot of ambitions, but he worshipped Sri Hari to achieve those ambitions. So it is not that we have to snub our ambitions and become completely distasteful in life. Because there's always an appetite. There's always diet depending on the appetite of the person. If there is a person who is naturally inclined towards living life simple, eating only fruits and roots and salad and soup, that person does not have to be forced to eat paneer and things like that, right? But if somebody is interested in eating paneer,
they can as well offer it to Krishna and eat it. So there's always a way by which you can, depending on the situation that you are in, you can be honest to that and make Krishna the goal of your life. Like, let's say, for example, somebody wants to work hard. No problem. Work hard, have multiple jobs or whatever. Chase your ambitions, make lots of money. But make sure some part of that is used in something good for society in the form of building a temple or accommodating those who are missionaries or sacrificing their life. So in this way, depending on the situation that we are in, the ambitions that we are in, we can always dovetail that in Krishna's service. There is absolutely no problem. However, if our ambitions are such that they're going to jeopardize our devotional inclination, then better to give those ambitions up. Like, for example, if there is somebody who's super fascinated to be in the Bollywood industry. Sure, go ahead. But then now you will have to dance and touch and kiss and hug and interact so closely with so many women on the name of professional script, right? Is that what is going to keep dharma upright? The answer is no. So you have to take a call there. So you have to be loyal to yourself to see how much of the ambition can be Krishnaized and how much is an overflow.
So every time you ask this question, whatever the situation, you just put dharma and you put a big time question mark right in front of
you. Correct. So we read Shastra and we have a teacher under whom we learn. Okay. So every question, we run it through Shastra, we run it through the spiritual authority and we ask them, is it too much to ask for or is it within the blanket of my reach?
Okay.
And then you can always dovetail. There have been examples in Shastra.
I have another question, but I don't want to ask it. Is it possible for me to ask, maybe ask you personally? Is it possible?
Sure. I will give you an email address. I'm going to put it here on the chat box. So for anyone and everyone who would like to reach, you can write to this email. I'm not sure if I have the answers to all the questions, but at least
it's a simple question, but I'm sure. Feeling a little.
Yeah. If it's something personal and private, you can always write an email and this email is accessed only by me. So you can write it there.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I have been actually waiting for a live stream class with you for quite some time. Actually, thank 2 years.
Thank you. So please keep chanting Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, and we will meet you more often online.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Back to you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji.
Okay. So I think you want to, do we have to stop now or do you want to take more questions?
We can pause for now, Mataji.
We can pause. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a beautiful session and pleasing everyone on the call. Always grateful to you for this. We can end the call here. Thank you, devotees, and our apologies to everyone who have raised hands. We'll do it next time for sure. So we can end the call here. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hisri Amarendra Prabhu ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jai. All glories to all the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be ending the call here. Hare Krishna.